hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to ourselves, to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You can see it, Father. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you ready? If you are not ready, then I guess the question is, what do you have to do to get ready? For example, how do you get ready when someone is coming over to your house? Now, if you are anything like the Hansen household, you don't have many people over to your house at all. And when that happens, it's easy to get very comfortable sort of in your own lifestyle. Maybe you don't mind a dish or two in the living room, or tomorrow morning is just as good as any day to do tonight's dishes. Maybe the carpet has seen better days and the walls certainly could use a fresh coat of paint. And we won't even get started about the hall bath your kids used growing up. All of this, plus countless others, sort of make up the fabric of our lives that we live within our own homes that people rarely or if ever see, until suddenly you find out someone is coming over. A quick visit, a dinner maybe, even an extended stay. Now, what do you do? Are you ready for them? In this second Sunday in Advent, we hear about John and a very special message that he brings. Someone is coming, and are you ready? That someone that is coming is bringing the kingdom of heaven with him. What does that mean, you're probably asking? It means the rule of God is coming to earth, and that rule includes grace and judgment. Grace, because God is coming to save the people from their sins, and judgment for all of those who reject this coming Son. And John's announcement is not like any of the others. You see, for centuries, prophets have told the people about the coming Messiah. And most people in the Old Testament were probably saying to themselves, "Yeah, we know. We've been waiting for generations and still nothing. We'll believe it when we see it." Well, John's announcement is different, because he's not saying someone is coming. He's saying that one has come. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's here. And the time is now to get ready and to be ready. Days and weeks and even months pass by in your homes without any real notice, comfortably ensconced in your living room. And then late one night, an email arrives. Your cell phone rings, or you get a text notification. Hey, guess what? We are in town for a few days. We will be stopping by tomorrow morning. See you then. What do you do now? Do you panic? Do you look around the house and say, how in the world are we going to get ready for this visit? Well, one way to do it is to start the great cover-up. You run the vacuum around to make it look like you do that every day. Move a few pictures around on the walls to cover up the cracks in the drywall that you just continue to put off and don't really care about. Grab some area rugs to throw them around. No one wants to see those old stains on an equally old carpet. And that hall bath the kids use, let's just simply shut that door tight and tell the guests there's a powder bath down the other way. 6 hours of scrubbing, running around, dusting, washing, and now it's time to greet the guests. But you see, there's a problem. John the Baptist says, you are not ready. You are not even close. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had come to the Jordan to see what all the fuss was about, and John calls them out on it. You brood of vipers, he says. The insult was just about as bad and as stinging as one could get. The offspring of poisonous snakes. This phrase is often used by calling someone out for their deception and their malice. These religious leaders of the day believed that they had no need to repent because they had found favor with God. You see, by virtue of their office, they considered themselves not sinful because of their outward actions. Long flowing robes in the marketplace, making grand shows on the street corners when they gave a few pennies to the poor, being sure everyone saw what they were doing, standing at the altar during prayers, making sure everyone near heard their praise of God for not making them like those sinners in the back, bent over and crying. See, the people of the day saw these religious leaders who, on the outside, looked like pious, devout, and faithful followers of Yahweh. But it was all just a cover-up, a deception, a way for no one to see what they were really like, because they were broken, sinful men, deceitful, arrogant, prideful, and in need of true repentance. But they had convinced themselves that their outward appearance, what others saw, was their true selves, and repentance was unnecessary. And John is having none of it. In response to this cover-up, this hiding of their sin, he says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. You see, without repentance, the kingdom of heaven and the rule of God looks bleak at best. It's why John came, to prepare the people, and that preparation comes in repentance. It's how we get ready for Jesus to arrive and for God's rule. But that's really a tough thing. You see, God is coming to sinful people, but natural man, the sinful nature, thinks they are doing just fine. They've got it all handled, but the truth is they don't. It's why John is here, explaining to the people, to repent is to see oneself, the way God sees us. But we know how difficult that is, don't we? It's like you open that front door as your guests arrive and you begin to show them, this here's the carpet that's stained and worn out. The cracks in the walls and the peeling paint, we're just so used to them we don't even notice them anymore. Don't worry about all the dust from the wood stove or the dishes that have been in the sink for 3 days. You see, that type of exposure to others is simply too much for us to bear. So the sinful nature continues to cover it up, this spiritual ruse of our sins, because we could never do what was necessary for repentance to take place on our own. So God, in His grace and His mercy, provides a way. He readies us for His rule in baptism. It's what John was doing that day in the Jordan. People weren't coming out there for John to wash, for them to wash themselves in the water. It was John who is doing the doing. And the people do not take or make themselves what baptism gives. They only receive it. They receive the forgiveness of sins. And at your baptism, you saw yourself in the same way that God sees you, a sinner lost to sin and death. And in those waters, you died with Jesus, and you rose from them, a repentant, forgiven sinner. This is only possible because baptism is not something that we do. It is something that God does to us. He drowns us in those waters. He raises us to new life in Jesus, receiving everything Jesus gained for your salvation on the cross and His resurrection. You are washed from your sin, reborn, and made a child of God. This means two very important things for our lives. To begin with, it means that we, by faith, live a life of repentance. And by that I mean there is no need to try to cover up your sin before God or to deceive ourselves into thinking we don't need repentance in our lives. Jesus knows us. He is our brother. He comes to us with His grace every day, and we confess our sinfulness, our sins, and our daily need for the grace that He provides. Secondly, because Jesus prepares us by baptism and repentance of sins, we are now ready to receive Him as He comes to us in Bethlehem. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, and this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. On that night in Bethlehem, while the angels announced the birth of Jesus, all the world was judged. The winnowing fork was at hand. And because Jesus prepares you for His arrival through baptism and repentance, He will gather you into His barn, and you will be with Him for eternity. Are you ready? Thanks be to God that we are ready in Jesus.